Kulma.
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya.
आशीष साखी की जय। गौपाल की जय। Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So this is the Bhagavat Purana. There's Indologists, people who study India, Indologists, meteorologists, ichthyologists, what else we got? Geologists and Indologists. they have a bibliography of all known ancient Sanskrit books, literatures. This is Sanskrit. Other classical languages in India, but this is one of the most classical. And so when it was last published, this bibliography, which is, what's the name of the bibliography?
Do you know?
I've heard it so many times. Catalogus Catalogorium. That's the name of it. So when it was last published, it included over 160,000 ancient Sanskrit texts discussing celestial architecture, celestial medicine, celestial astrology, what else? Celestial political sciences. Everything is there. But the British made a very, conscious effort to cover all this. And it's still covered in the propaganda and the European press. But if you actually go to India, classical India, not Adunik Bombay, Bollywood. Indians are many times amazed about their own culture. They've never moved up. And so out of all these literatures and everything else, the Bhagavat Purana is the very best and the essence of all these. So there's about 40 more volumes to it. It's about 18,000 verses. That is full of poetry, drama, stories. It's all systematically arranged, like Encyclopedia of the Spiritual Sky. So this is the first canto. There's 12 cantos. And the 19th chapter. And this is something that happened about 5,000 years ago, right? At the same time, I guess, Methuselah? It was in the Bible, he lived to be 100, 1,000 years old, or something like that. In the Bible, it says Methuselah lived to be 1,000 years. So the Vedic culture accepts the same thing. There was the universe is going through cycles, like your heart's going through cycles, right? Love dub. And your lungs are going through cycles, your stomach is going through cycles, the days are going through cycles, the years are going through cycles. So the Vedas say the whole universe is going through cycles.
Wow, okay.
So age of gold, age of silver, age of bronze, age of iron, age of gold, age of silver, age of bronze, age of iron, like that. And right now we're just heading into the age of iron. Started about 5,000 years ago. It's going to last for about 427,000 more years, getting worse. Then they go back again to the springtime of the universe. So this happened at the end of the age of silver, when Merlin, everybody knows him, Merlin the magician, he was running around, even before that actually, so on. So this is the 19th chapter. The appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. And he's going to be the main narrator for the whole thing. It's the first canto. So the next 11 cantos, some like 17,000 verses, he's going to explain all these things to his student. Sutta Vacha.
Sutta Vacha.
Mahipatis.
Mahipatis.
Tvata.
Tvata.
Tatkarma.
Tatkarma.
Garyam.
Garyam.
Mahipatis. Mahipatis tvata.
Mahipatis tvata.
Tat karma garyam.
Tat karma garyam.
Tat karma garyam.
Tat karma garyam.
Mahipatis tvata.
Mahipatis tvata.
Tat karma garyam.
Tat karma garyam.
These things are mostly memorized. It's acoustical culture. We haven't got that ability.
Vichintayan atmakritam sudur manaha ahomaya nicham anarya batkritam niragasi brahmani guda tejasa.
See, Sutta Goswami said, while returning home, the king, Maharaj Parikit, felt that the act he had committed against the faultless and powerful Brahmana was heinous
and uncivilized. Consequently, he was distressed. The king thought, due to my neglecting the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, I must certainly expect some difficulty to overcome me in the near future. I now desire without reservation that the calamity come now, for in this way I may be freed of the sinful action and not commit such an offense again. I am uncivilized and sinful due to my neglect of Brahminical culture, God consciousness, and cow protection. Therefore, I wish that my kingdom, strength, and riches burn up immediately by the fire of the Brahmana's wrath, so that in the future I may not be so guided by inauspicious attitudes. While the king was thus repenting, he received news of his imminent death, which was due to the bite of a snake bird, occasioned by the curse spoken by the king, by the Brahmana's son. The king accepted this as good news, for it would be the cause of his indifference toward worldly things. Maharaj Parikshit sat down firmly on the bank of the Ganges to concentrate his mind in Krishna consciousness, rejecting all other processes of self-realization, because transcendental loving service to Krishna is the greatest achievement, superseding all other methods. The river, Ganges, by which the king sat to fast, carries the most auspicious water, which is mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord and tulasi leaves. Therefore, that water sanctifies the three worlds inside and outside, and even sanctifies Lord Shiva and other demigods. Consequently, everyone who is destined to die must take shelter of this river. Thus the king, the worthy descendant of the Pandavas, decided once and for all and sat down on the bank of the Ganges to fast until death, and gave himself up to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who alone can award liberation. So, freeing himself from all kinds of association and attachment, he accepted the vow of a sage. At that time, all the great minds and thinkers, accompanied by their disciples and sages, who could verily sanctify a place of pilgrimage just by their presence, arrived there on the plea of making a pilgrim's journey. From different parts of the universe, there arrived great sages like Atri, Chaivana, Saradvan, Aristanami, Bhrigu, Vashishta, Parasara, Vishvamrita, Angira, Parasuram, Uttachya, Indrapramada, Idmabahu, Medatiti, Devala, Aristasena, Bharadvaja, Gautama, Pipalada, Maitreya, Ayurarya, Kavasak, Kumbayona, Dvaipanyaya, and great personality, Narada. So then the purport written by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, our current dean, Acharya, he's gone through and given biographies of all these people like that, many of them. Because they're described in different Vedic literatures, and they are existing even now in places, subtle atmosphere. There were also many great Saini demigods and kings. He received them all properly. After they had seated themselves comfortably, he stood before them and said, "Indeed, we are the most grateful of all the kings who are trained to get favors from great souls. Generally, you sages consider royalty as refuse to be rejected and left in a distant place. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously overtaken me in the form of a Brahmana's curse. Due to my being too much attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear I will detach myself from this world. O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way, for I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana's son has created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue to sing the deeds of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu." Punascha bhuyad bhagavati anante rati prasangas chatar ashrayeshu. "Again, I offer my obeisances to all of you Brahmanas. I pray that if I should take birth again in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all beings." Thus he sat down and gave charge of his kingdom to his son. Thus Maharaj Parikshit set to fast until death. All the demigods in the higher planetary systems praised the king's actions, and in pleasure continually scattered flowers over the earth and beat drums. Now all the sages said, very good, very good. Bye. And then they glorified him and his qualifications and his determination. There was one little girl, she had some terminal disease, some blood disease, and she collected a lot of money so she could visit every single amusement park in the world before she died. That is proper preparation for death. Get all the hot dogs she wants to and his white faces. No. But his determination was, you know, to, you know, fix his mind properly and lead his body. Yeah. So there are many processes of self-realization, right? All over the world, different people. You know, what is hedonism there, Mr. Bachelor? He's got a bachelor's degree at university. Bachelor of Arts. What is hedonism?
Basically, enjoy yourself as much as you can. Pick out any food.
Right.
Sleep in all day.
Well, I guess there's some guy named Hedon, who was a founder of this philosophy. It's a Greek. Back to the Greeks. Hedonistic. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Right? So is that a kind of prominent philosophy in the modern world?
Yes.
What's our modern philosophy?
Do the old thing.
In California, is it Texas also?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's spreading.
Eat, drink, and remarry.
Okay. But there's some idea that, you know, you have to be kind of like decent or something. There's some kind of basic ethical standards, and, you know, maybe some family values. I don't know. Somewhere. There's some family values, right? Right, yeah. Yeah. I travel in South America a lot, and Pepsi Cola has all these advertisements there. One of them, it shows a little teddy bear in the trash can, and it says, eternal love usually lasts about 7 months. Eternal love usually lasts about 7 months. Yeah. So anyway, there's I think basically kind of, I mean, actually, if you go to like one of the predominating, you know, sources of modern culture, Microsoft, right? You look on their web page. You know, what's their corporation philosophy? And their philosophy is, we're here to help you do whatever you want to do better. Like that. Well, I like to kill Africans for Jesus. Like that. Well, we're here to help you do that better. So there's no philosophy. That's kind of one of the main things, is that we don't talk about that. We're just here, we're not paid to do that. Right? We're just paid to get these results. One of my mentors, Marshall McLuhan, famous media guy, he said an expert is somebody who never, a technician is somebody who never makes the smallest mistake as he systematically proceeds towards a grand illusion. Right? So every step is completely perfect, correct, and you arrive at the completely wrong place like that. Yes, to see how we got here. Carl Jung, we're discussing him, famous psychologist, he said a German is somebody who would invent suspenders for socks and expect you to thank him. That coming from Europe, I don't know. But it's very, you know, obsessed with the technique, but forgetting what is the goal like that. Well, it's already determined. You know, it's already determined. The goal is to try and have, you know, gratify your senses, have material pleasures, you know, hotels, vacations, you know, whatever it is. Maybe some people a little bit more into health food and something like that, organic living or something like that. But most people we see at least, all the propaganda is to have more things than you could possibly use, right? He who dies with the most toys wins. Yeah. Boys don't grow up, their toys just get more expensive. Right? Boys don't grow up, their toys just get more expensive. It's the same thing. You know, all this, and enjoying life through this kind of activity. In South America, I spent a lot of time there, there's more family value like that. And you see, for example, like advertisements for Coca-Cola are more towards like how your family can enjoy Coca-Cola together like that and having a good time, you know, and so on. But the basic idea is we're going to enjoy in this world, and not to, even if I hear like many Christian radio stations and stuff, it's still how you can take care of your family and, you know, do these kind of things properly. But what happens when you die? You know, it's not much, you know, knowledge or idea about that. But so many philosophers have dealt with this. Buddha, Muhammad, Socrates, right? It's been a big, big, big question, discussion. And this is one of the central points of the Vedic culture. You know? If you look in the Encyclopedia Britannica, you'll find the literature of Germany, the history of Germany, the history of France, the literature of France. You know. Only one country, though, does it have the philosophy of India. Yeah, the philosophy of India. It's the only country in the whole thing where they talk about the philosophy of that country. So if you want to have good food, okay, the European heaven, the Italians are the cooks, the Germans are the mechanics, the French are the lovers, the Swiss are the judges, British are the police officers, right? And the European hell, the British are the cooks, the Swiss are the lovers, the French are the mechanics, the Germans are the police officers, and the Italians are the judges. Everybody has their national character, right? Yeah. And so, you know, India has this character, right? Philosophy, right? Any great philosophers in India?
Everybody's a philosopher.
It's a fact. You talk to almost anybody, they have like philosophical conception about why they're there. Some guy who's suffering as a rickshaw while pedaling, and say, "Why are you here? Why are you suffering like this?" He said, "It's because I did something in my life, and so I got what I deserve." You know? So, Prabhupada says you only take birth in India if you're interested in philosophy. If you want good food, you become an Italian. You know, if you want a good machine, you're German. You know? So very, you know, philosophical inquiry about what is life, everything else like that. So, Socrates in the West, he's like the one professor of philosophy said that all of philosophy after Socrates is just a footnote in the West. He established with his school and everything else. Everyone else is kind of thinking that way, following that idea. I think Aristotle comes in as a student of his, like that. So, the most famous dialogue, I mentioned it many times, is one of the most famous is the Phaedo. There have been different dialogues, you know, written down about this and that, talking about different things. And the Phaedo is when he's actually going to take the poison. You know, they've condemned him to death for some bogus crime, and he's refusing to, you know, to. He can go away, but he refuses to, you know, forcing them to, you know, kill him. So he asked his disciples just before, you know, he's going to take the hemlock, the poison, any final questions? And they say, well, you know, how can you be so sure that the soul is immortal, that, you know, why, you know, that you're not going to die and just run away, you know? They'll let you do that. He says, no, you know. He says, the soul, you know, how can you be so sure? And he says, well, look at it, just practically speaking. Nothing fine comes from something gross. And this body is made of all gross elements, fat, blood, you know, all these things. And something fine comes out, music, architecture, culture, music, all these things, you know, logic. So there must be something here which is animating the body. So this is a very common argument, actually. Again, Prabhupada uses the same thing. You know. So he said, can I take the poison now? You say, well, okay, but what about a violin? It's made from wood, cat guts, right, the old days, and glue. And out of that comes this beautiful, you know, sound like that. So there we see, and if something fine comes from something gross. So whether you use the argument of cat guts and wood and glue, or DNA and RNA, it's the same argument, right? DNA and RNA are just carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, hydrogen, and those combine together and they evolve, and finally, you know, software engineers, Texans come out of that, you know, like that. So it's the same argument, you know, that the gross elements, when they combine together at a mature stage, produce these things. So Socrates said, yes, it's a very interesting argument. And if I wasn't a real philosopher and I couldn't satisfy you with a logical explanation, I don't deserve a title. So everything is very nice in your argument, but you're forgetting one thing. He said, what's that? The violin maker. Oh. Yeah. And the person is playing it. They're putting it together like that. So, oh, okay. Yeah. So he goes on with a lot of arguments, logical arguments. Very, very nice. It's worth reading. You see, every cultured human being should read this. The Phaedo, the last one. And very interesting. We find the same arguments. Prabhupada uses the same arguments like that. And he goes back and forth this way and that way. And he talks about, for example, he says every act of excessive sense indulgence or sense rejection is another nail that nails the pure soul to the tree of the body. You can take, you know, one too many pieces of sweets, okay. One too many, you don't take your better medicine, you know, like that. Until finally all these nails are there, you know. Adultery, well, you got fornication, gambling, all these things that everybody's warning us about. You know, Buddha, Jesus, you know, everybody. So finally you're just absorbed in your bodily activities. Yeah. The mind, when it's allowed to think about these things over and over again, it's all it develops. It's all the kind of software that it develops. The whole operating system is designed just to keep the senses absorbed, the mind absorbing the senses at every moment like that. One devotee, Gitanagari, who is about, I don't know, my God, 190 pounds or something, big guy. So in the Vrajmandal Parikrama, we went out there, you know, walking in the forest of Vrindavan, camping out with 150, 200 devotees for 1 month of traveling. So he was walking out in the morning early to do his business in the field, and some Vrijbhasis were yelling at him, and he thought they were telling him to get out of his field, so he said, "Leave me alone!" And he fell right into a well. He fell about, what is it, about something like about, and I guess about 30 feet. It's a long way, 20 yards. It was a good distance, you know. Then he hit this platform. Wow! You know? There was a steel pump sticking out, which he missed, fortunately. Then the other side of the platform was like another 35 feet. So, you know, he kind of hit the one spot. But he broke about 14 bones later on. It was all discovered when he hit. So there he is in this well. And it took him about like 2 hours to get him out. You can imagine what it's like trying to get a 180-pound guy out of a 30-foot well with 14 broken bones. And he said when he hit, he couldn't breathe. And then he wasn't thinking about rotating his tires or, you know, how much money he's going to make or, you know, his mind just like, you know, like Mars Pariksit, he became indifferent to all these things. What does it matter? I can't breathe. Want a cigar? Want a good job? You know, like that. I can't breathe. So his mind started like panicking more and more, and then his intelligence, you know, behind the mind, subconscious, like that, said, in a kind of disgusted fashion, said, "Why are you panicking? We've been through this hundreds of times," like that. He said, at that point, he could actually realize it was a fact. You know, is that when we lose this connection with the gross body, our intelligence, our knowledge, it's all there. It's there still. It's like taking the water out of a sponge, right? You know, when it's frozen, you have round sponges and square sponges. Okay. It's the round sponges against the square sponges. Come on, let's go. You know. But then you follow some ethical or moral system, and you get a little soft, and you realize, hey, you know, we're just because we're round sponges and square sponges, we're all still sponges. Yeah, okay. You know. So you come to the level of ethics and morality, you share the food, you know, think about each other. But then a real system of religion or yoga means to squeeze the sponge, right? Then you start coming out of the body, and by becoming, you know, giving up this continuous stimulation, you know, excessive stimulation. One more analogy, in the Bhagavatam it says that when a farmer is growing grass, or has a little tank, a little pond for water, for his animals, everything, but if he allows different grass to grow, like cattails, like that, right? Then after some time there'll be no water. Is it still there? Yeah, but now it's all absorbed into these reeds and stuff like that. So the Bhagavatam says the mind allowed to wander all over all these things for sense gratification absorbs the consciousness till you can't think of anything. So Socrates gives the same point. It's a science. He tells the same thing will happen. You just allow yourself to eat, drink, and be merry. You know, whatever you want to do, more and more, and you're not satisfied, so you start stuffing it in more and more, and you're not satisfied with sex and family relationships, so you start having adultery. You're not satisfied with that, so you start having homosexuality. You're not satisfied with that, so you start having bestiality. It's just, you know, it becomes, you know, it's history, right, of more and more efforts to stimulate ourselves. So you're completely lost, you know, to your own perspective, who you are. Yeah. So Mars Pariksit's, you know, the time of death, he's wondering what's the best way to deal with this. You know? And people there who are very expert at this, you know, these hatha yoga systems and stuff like that. You know? So Socrates is giving all these examples, and he says, such a person who's fully absorbed in his gross body, do you think he'll depart the world free and unfettered to live forever with the gods? And his disciples say, no, Socrates. He says, yeah, he'll come back. if he's really gross, he'll come back as a plant or an animal or a beast. If he's if he's like a little more passionate, he'll come back as a wolf or a dominating monarch. And if he's nice, he'll come back as more of goodness, maybe like a honeybee or something like that. So he gives the same thing as Bhagavad Gita, right? Chapter 14. Three modes of nature. He describes the same thing. Depending on your consciousness, at the time of death, you acquire a certain kind of body. Hamlet says the same thing. Yeah? Depending on your consciousness, that's what you end up in your next body. So then he describes all these logical things and how the soul is different than the body. And it can live forever with the gods, you know, if you're used to the philosophical principles. So finally he asks the disciples, can I go now? And they look at each other, and one of them says, he says, you know, Socrates, in your presence, nobody can have any logical arguments. It's just, nobody can stand in front of you with logical arguments about this. But even though we know it's completely irrational, just like little children, maybe you had this experience, I had this. You go visit your aunt's house or somebody else's house, and your mother puts you into bed, in some strange bed, and shows you there's no monsters under the bed, there's no monsters in the closet. And she goes out and closes the door, and you hear this. or something. Yeah. So you cover your head with the covers like that and hide from the monsters. Yeah. So the same way, they say, just like that, just like little children. And even though it's irrational, we still have this fear that maybe, just like in the morning when the dew evaporates when the sun comes up, the same way the soul just ceases to exist. You know? And Socrates says, yes, you know, that just by gyan, just by logical analysis of the whole thing, you cannot get down to the root problem like that. He said you have to apply the words of a self-realized soul every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Yeah. And he says there are many in Greece and the surrounding country like that. So this is what Maharaj Pariksit is doing. There's so many people here. You heard the list of all these great philosophers and yogis and people, you know, rich gods from different planetary systems, subtle atmospheres. And all of these, his conclusion is the best thing is to hear every day. Hear constantly the self-realized soul about the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Person, right? And to reawaken our confidential, intimate relationship with Him. And when that's there, that's because the soul is personal, then we feel confidentially assured of our immortality, like that. Yeah? Yeah. So again, like if, you know, we have to go into some bar or something to fight with people there, you know. But Arnold Schwarzenegger says, don't worry, Guerrero, I'm right behind you. Are you sure? Are you really sure? You know, like that. One time in Los Angeles, Prabhupada finished his lecture. And he was traveling the next day, so he didn't give any lectures in the day he was traveling. So I remember it was about like, nobody told me I wasn't there, I was in San Francisco, but it was about, I guess it would be like about almost 200 people on the bottom, and the mezzanine holds another, like 100 at least, so maybe 300 devotees back in his room. And Prabhupada answered questions, gave his lecture, discussing philosophy, different points, perspectives. And finally, he finishes the questions, and he's sitting there like, you know, for quite some time. So it's like in the room, people stopped breathing. It was like so serious. It was just like, you know, nobody had ever experienced anything so serious. You know? And finally, Prabhupada looked up and said, so, if you chant 16 nice rounds a day, follow the four principles strictly, and live in the temple for the rest of your life, I promise, at the end of this miserable material existence, I will personally come and take you back home, back to Radha. Wow. Yeah. So what convinces is not just the words, you know. I can say that, but I had some doubts, you know. But it's the personal relationship, you know, like that. And this, and with people, we can distinguish personal relationships. Even dogs, right? Even a dog can look at you and see if you're afraid of him or not. You approach somebody's house and this dog is looking at you. And if you feel nervous about something, then the dog, this person feels nervous about something. You know, Yeah. So people, we can experience personal relationships beyond the body, mind, and everything else. So that's his conclusion. Let me just go on hearing about God, his activities, his pastimes, his incarnations, his qualities, you know, all these things until the last moment. And he asked the sages, please, is this a good idea? What do you think? And they all say, yes, it's very good, you know. But who should talk? Who should you hear from? Right? Oh, trustworthy Brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. At that moment, there appeared the powerful son of Vyasadeva, who traveled over the earth disinterested and satisfied within himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or status of life. He was surrounded with women and children, and he dressed as if others neglected him. The son of Vyasadeva was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead, and other parts of his body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide, and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face, and his neck was well formed and beautiful like a conch shell. His collarbone was fleshy. His chest broad and thick, his navel deep, and his abdomen very beautifully striped. His arms were long, and he had curly hair was strewn over his beautiful face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Krishna. He was blackish and very beautiful due to his youth. Because of the glamour of his body and his attractive smiles, he was very pleasing to women. Although he tried to cover his natural glories, the great sages present, they were all expert in the art of physiognomy, and so they honored him by rising from their seats. Maharaj Parikshit, who is also known as Vishnu Rata, one who is always protected by Vishnu, bowed his head to receive the chief of guests, Sukadeva Goswami. At that time, all the ignorant women and boys ceased following him. Receiving respect from all, Sukadeva Goswami took his exalted position. Like that. Again, some guy is like very kind of funny, attractive looking moron or something like that. He appears like a street guy, but very curious. With him, and the governor of Texas comes and just says, oh, hello, and starts to. Who is this guy? You know? Yeah, so they were all like amazed. We thought he was some kind of like a puppy, you know, wandering around. Sukadeva Goswami was then surrounded by saintly sages and demigods as the moon is surrounded by stars and planets. His presence was gorgeous. He was respected by all. The sage Sukadeva Goswami sat perfectly pacified, intelligent, and ready to answer any question without hesitation. The great devotee Maharaj Parikshit approached him, offered respects, and bowed before him, and politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. Parikshit uvacha, Aho adya vayam brahman satseva kshatra bandavaha. O Brahmana, by your mercy only, you have sanctified us, making us into places of pilgrimage. All by your presence here is my guest. By your mercy, we who are unworthy royalty become eligible to serve the devotees. Simply by remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified, and what to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat in our home. Just as an atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished by your presence, O saint, O great mystic. That's the Sanskrit for that one. Sanidyate mahayogin patakani mahantyapi sadyo nashyanti vaipungsam vishnur eva suretkara. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is very dear to the sons of King Pandu, has accepted me as one of those relatives just to please his great cousins and brothers. Otherwise, without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is it that you have voluntarily appeared here, though you are moving incognito to the common man and not visible to us who are on the verge of death? You are the spiritual master of great saints and devotees. I am therefore begging you to show the way of perfection for all persons, and especially for one who is about to die. Please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember, and worship, and also what he should not do. Please explain all this to me. O powerful Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami said, the king thus spoke and questioned the sage in sweet language. That's a great and powerful personality. The son of Vyasadeva, who knew the principles of religion, began to reply. Since the Bhaktivedanta translations, the first canto, 19th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. So the second canto that he begins, he actually presenting his whole anthology, like that, yoga. So just by hearing, here's a picture there, here's all the sages, there's Maharaj Purkhit, there's Sukadeva Goswami. So just by hearing, this is again Socrates' conclusion, there's so many processes, philosophies, religion, but he finds Socrates, Jesus, they all say that the best process is to hear from the self-realized soul. Come, let us reason together, and though your sins are as red as blood, it will become as white as snow. Right? And first you become endowed with all pious credits, become free from simple reactions, and you start to develop transcendental knowledge. Right? Understand who you are. And after that, then comes actual reawakening of our ecstasy and love of God. So, any questions? Anybody about to die? Get back there. Yes, sir.
No, I raised my hand because I'm going to die.
Oh, yeah. Any questions? No questions? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The point you made about Srila Prabhupada, 16 rounds plus 4 regulative principles and then stay in temple.
Yeah.
So that is needed for going back to
God. He gave different formulas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but no, he said you can also make your home a temple. Yeah, many times you go to Indians' houses and they have a little closet under the stairway, and that's where God lives. You know? Yeah. But then one sannyasi was challenging one Indian devotee. What's his name? Satya Singh is an engineer in Singapore. He said, "Whose house is this?" He said, "Who's Krishna's? Why has he got such a little room?" So he moved him into the living room there like that, and then we move in the closet. We're the servants. Yeah. And so you make your house into a temple, you know, like that. Yeah, ashram. Yeah. Probably so many times. If you follow principles, you know, it doesn't matter whether you live in the temple or in your house. Yeah. It's okay? Yeah.
What's the difference between the blessings that you get from like reading a saint's words versus actually being in their presence and listening to their teachings?
Well, there's difference between being in their presence and actually listening. You know, both. Probably get the example one time, there's a cockroach on the king's throne, and the cockroach is thinking, "I am a very intimate associate of the king." Yeah, can't you see, you know? But the main thing, this is the point too, is very, so much detail. This is why there's 18,000 verses, there's so much details. The sound is the most subtle of all the gross elements. Like that. So hearing is a real thing. Abraham Lincoln said, "Remain silent, and people will think you're a fool. Speak, and remove all doubt." Yeah. So as soon as we talk, right? A well-dressed fool often goes undetected, right? Yeah. But as soon as he talks, you know, so sound is what really we communicate. You know, the interior depths of our consciousness are non-depths, like that. And the automatic result of music, and music is you want to dance, you know, it's like that. And so the tactile nature of the body is revealed, you know. And then after that, the visual is a whole hierarchy. It's different. You know, my background is in psychology, which is a fact. You know. So then, you know, reading has its potency. Reading is sound, you know. But for example, like in theater, Konstantin Stanislavski, Russian, he's very famous, the most famous, you know, theater guy, is, you know, 1920s. He started the Moscow Studio Theater, and he has a whole developed thing about, you know, psychology and everything else, which is very much matches a lot of yoga. And he said people don't go to the theater to hear the text. They can stay home and do that much cheaper, you know. I mean, you pay maybe $50, $75, $120 to hear, I don't know who it is, Laurence Olivier, you know, Richard Burton, Sir John Gielgud play Hamlet. But you can read the thing for, you know, for $1.50 or something, right? You know, so you come to this point where to be or not to be, that is the question. Right? Everybody's just waiting for, like, you know, because it's the subtext, they call, the meaning. at that. To be or not to be, that's the question. You know, to be or not to be. That's the question. Right? So how you can say it so many ways. You know. One of the games that Stanislavski would have for training his actors, he would had a paragraph, and it was a dialogue between two people, two lovers, two spies, two businessmen. Maybe I might have about 8 of these. You shuffle them up and then pass them out. And his actors had to read that and get up. And all they could say was, and every single dialogue finished with the word tonight. Right? So all they could do was get up and say that word, and everybody else had to guess which of the eight you know, dialogues it was. You know, tonight. So is that the spies or the businessmen or? Okay. Hopefully. Tonight. Yeah. Who's that? Yeah, so it's, I'm also adding gestures too, like that too. You know? But it's a fact. Sound is so rich. You know, the nuances are there. It's you're touching the soul. You know, the mind, the intelligence, the funny. Those are pure. You can get right across like that. You know, like that. You know? So that's why, you know, the benefits there reading. And again, it's why, you know, with so many books, it's again and again and again and again and again, same point. So yeah, you can get a real clear understanding. But also hearing it has that, you know, that potency. You know? So kind of both are recommended. Okay? Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Man is about to die has a question finally. Right.
Maharaj, I have a question.
Okay.
I know chanting is supposed to be good for you. You should do the chanting.
Yeah.
But what about a person that's chanting and doing all the things, but he's not a good person? He's been being mean to other human beings.
Yeah.
And then you have another person that's not chanting. But he's a nicer person. He's taking care of their needs and doing other things. I mean, how does it reflect? Because, you know, a lot of times when you come into the moment, you know, you know you should do all these things, but then you do see other people that are doing these things, and that kind of puts doubts in your mind. It says, okay, just because you do this, you know, doesn't erase all the bad things you're doing every day.
Well, it's a complicated thing. It's like you know, what you're asking me is like, you know, someone comes to the doctor and says, you know, well, diagnose me, you know, like that. Right? You know, it takes some time. You got to take pause, do all these things, right? Like that. So diagnosis, an individual thing like that, you know. So basically the chanting is like, you know, it should be, you know, direct appeal to God. But again, there's so much variety there. You always tell this story, you know. One old lady, I tell a different story, same thing. I told the two thieves story enough. She's a very old lady. She had nobody to really protect her. She was living in a little village in the mountains, and she had to, you know, sleep in the marketplace at night with whatever little cloth she could get, and you know. And so every day she would just go over the hills to where the woodlot was, and then she would you know, hassle with the woodcutters to get some wood, and they would tie it in a bundle and put it on her head, and she'd walk back over with this load and go back down and put it, help her, have somebody help her put it down. She'd spread it out. She's, you know, hassle with the housewives for, you know, some money. And then she'd live like that. It's really, you know, an unhappy existence. So one day she's coming back over the hills, and the knot comes open, and all the wood falls in the ground. And she can't put it back by herself, so she falls in the ground, and she's scratching the ground with her fingernails and saying, "Oh my God, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan," crying. And in front of her, Narayan appears, God with 4 arms. And he said, "What do you want, old lady?" And she says, "Put all the wood back on my head." Right? So you can be chanting, you can be calling the names of God, but what are you asking for? You know, put all the wood back on my head, you know. Right? And that's why the attitude which you're chanting is a big difference. And that relates to what you're doing. Again, that was Hamlet. Hamlet's uncle murdered his father, right, to get the kingdom. And so Hamlet figures this out by some means like that. And he sees his uncle alone there praying. And he thinks, "Oh, now might I do it pat." So, yeah, like that. Yeah. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavan, jaja dianti kalevaram, tam tame vai te kontaya. Whatever thoughts in Bhagavad Gita, whatever thoughts a person has, whatever his consciousness is, the moment of death, that determines his next body. So this man killed my father and seduced my mother into abominable incestuous activities, right? You know, and I'm going to kill him while he's praying, and he'll go to heaven. Whereas my father is in hell for his, he didn't get a chance to purify himself. This is not revenge. This is higher in pay. This is benefit. Upsword. No, a more horrid intent. Let me catch him when he's gambling and drunk or engaged in incest twixt the sheets. Like that. And then his heels will kick at heaven, and his heart will depart from that hell as black as his own nature. So he was using, he knew, you know. And then finally, then after that, Polonius, you know, gets up and he says, I'm trying to pray, you know, but what can I say? Oh God, forgive me when I'm still possessed of those things for which I did my sin, my queen, my kingdom. Words without thoughts to heaven never go. It's like the 10th offense, right? So yeah, you can say it, but then, you know, your activities are determining to a large degree usually what you're thinking, how you're doing something like that. Well, God, let me be your, you know, be a good son and exploit all my brothers and sisters and eat them and, you know, make them do horrible work so I can enjoy extended extravagant lifestyle, stay in $400 hotels all my life, you know, right? Fly on Learjets, you know. So that, you know, the activity influences the thoughts, right? And the thoughts influence the quality of the chanting, like that. Yeah, it's okay. So you got to do both. They're related. Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur compares it to trying to row a boat, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but you're not lifting the anchor up. So you're dragging this anchor. So while we're chanting, we also have to give up, make the effort to give up. You know, more and more, you know, nescient activities. When Nectar of Instruction was published, a little book, Prabhupada says in there, one should not go in sweetmeat shops to satisfy the tongue. You know? So I was coming from this hippie environment, giving up all these gross, you know, intense gratifications. And so all I could do was eat sweets. Was nothing else. And so I read, when I read that, it was like I was trying to, like, read over it, you know, read around it. I was trying to see, is there some other meaning for it, go into, or is there some other meaning for sweetmeat shop? And my mind was just trying to, like, so, but I couldn't, because it was there, and I realized I had to give these things up, and I would walk by See's Candy and kind of look in the window. You know. But the point is, you know, we can't do it too fast. We're attached, it's a fact. And so if you try and do it too fast, that's also sinful. So God appreciates, you know, you have your attachments, and it's okay, you're making progress, it's fine. I'm very pleased with you, like that. Just be, you know, go on being enthusiastic. Yeah, and as quick as possible, get free from all these, you know, crazy, selfish things, egoistic things, like that, cruel to others, right? Okay. Right. Otro preguntas. Está bien. Está listo para su muerte?
No.
No. Okay. Pero no te preguntas.
You mentioned in your discourse that the more the mind engages in the senses, it gets more.
Well, when it engages for these lusty, selfish activities,
it gets caught up in that.
Absorbed. It stimulates the intelligence, builds this whole subroutine computer.
So the intelligence is totally covered in that. Huh? The intelligence is totally covered in that state.
Yeah, the intelligence is totally absorbed and operating the input-output apparatus. Yeah.
But when we regulate it also, there's still attachment to the senses.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm using all my words carefully here. I'm a lawyer. No, because excessive indulgence, you know, the same thing, if we it's the whole point about bhakti yoga. You know, if you use your house, if you use food, if you use music and dancing, if those are all related to Krishna by his mercy, then they don't become a source of degradation, they become a source of elevation. Yeah? You see a church and you think, wow, what a beautiful cathedral. How old is that? Who built that? What is, you know, like that. So now your mind is becoming absorbed in, wow, you know, this is God's house. You know, like that. Wow. These people really must have felt something. Can't do that without feeling something. You see, the intelligence starts becoming purified. Yeah, yeah. So that's the whole thing about bhakti yoga, is you can just live in this world, because God incarnate, he comes in different ways like that in this world, so we can appreciate him.
Because I personally feel it's some sort of mechanical stuff for me, where even offering food, it's not out of you know, out of love or something.
No.
It's just very mechanical. And
out of fear.
The fear, maybe, yeah.
No, fear, devotional service in the mode of ignorance is out of fear. Devotional service in the mode of passion is out of desire as we're advancing. And devotional service in the mode of goodness is out of very clear knowledge. Yeah? And then, that position, then you start to wake up. You know, the amnesia is over. You start to remember who you are, and it comes like that. And so you want to purify our service from, you know, selfish motives, from crazy motives, from greedy motives. Okay, God, I'll do this, but you owe me this and that. It's kind of what a passion. Yeah. Yeah. So this is normal. In the beginning, there's a tendency towards impersonalism. It's natural. You know? But if you go on, then it starts to become different things happen. You know? Krishna arranges different experiences, so we just start to remember who we are and what is life and feel something. Yeah. My friend Bharata, in a dream he made a very, very nice avocado and cheese and sprout sandwich on homemade bread in his dream, you know. And he put it on his altar to offer to his deities. He started alms and brahmas and looked up, and there was Krishna. And Krishna came and was looking at the sandwich, and he said, "Oh, is this for me, Bart? Is this for me?" And Bart was thinking, "Oh my God, Krishna really came. He's going to eat my sandwich." and he could appreciate that Krishna was appreciating the whole thing like that. And he woke up, you know, just thinking, yeah. So Krishna's doing that. He's like, yeah, that's a whole thing. It's very subtle. Very subtle. And so there's many subtle, like what different tests you go through and things like that. You know, it's the greatest adventure, right?
Yeah. The extension of the same question: how do I know, like, between yesterday and today, I made some spiritual progress? Like,
well, if you're actually learning how to control your senses at this level, becoming free from different things. You know, for example, Nandalal has a really nice big TV set there. You know? So sometimes when I get, I'm working hard, really. And I mean, actually, so many people make this point of use the way devotees work. If you work this way in the material world, you'd be a billionaire. You know, so sometimes I'll get in front of them to find something just to, like, you know, stimulate my mind and watch it like that. You know, so what I did is I put the TV controller next to my Hanuman deity to like, you know, for this club. And it works, you know. They go in there, I kind of like, you know, it's like, don't touch this thing. Buddy. So very little, you know, you start learning, you know. How to stay awake in the morning and chant your rounds. I was with one new devotee who was chanting, he's falling asleep, and I was thinking, well, how can I tell him, like, you know. And I was thinking, God, there's like about 15 different techniques I use, depending on the situation and stuff like that. So you develop all these, that's sadhana bhakti. There's so many books. Everybody's got a different mind. You know, a different mind, different intelligence, different society, different situation. You know? So, and everybody's different. So therefore, God is interested in you because you are different, right? And you have a different challenge, and you're solving it differently. And so he's saying, wow, what's he going to do now? Let's try this. See how he reacts to that. Yeah. One devotee I know is a Vaishya, lusty guy. And he had some cancer, so he had to take this whole diet thing. And one of the things was he's Italian. So one of the parts of the diet was he couldn't eat pasta, right? And he said he used to dream about women at night. And now he dreams about pasta. So it's his, you know, I mean, probably for you, I don't know, somebody else here might say it's rice, right? Like that, you know? South Indians can't live without rice. Like that, you know? Diet without rice. Do you know how to drive all the Germans out of the temple? Stop serving potatoes. It's a fact. Within 1 week, they'll all be gone. They can't live without potatoes. You tell the Germans, they'll smile and laugh. Yeah. Drive all the Americans out by not serving peanut butter and ice cream. For 1 week. Yeah. So you have to understand your mind, body, intelligence, and then use them. Yeah, that's the trick. It's not to renounce things sensuously. Maybe something in the beginning, yeah. But as you become more expert, no, you have to. That won't work. Yeah. You have to use them properly. When you're properly engaged, then we can get out of them. You know, there's a madman coming to stab people with, you know, saffron cloth on. You know, so I want to take off my saffron cloth, but I got one problem. So all these attachments, you know, television, cigarettes, you know, motor cars, you know, illicit sex, you know, gambling. Okay, that, then pratyahara, withdrawal from the senses. You can come back. You can stay inside. Yeah. So you have to go. The best way to do that is just to engage the senses properly. You know, cooking for Krishna. You know, making nice. You know, making money for Krishna. Right. Whatever your nature is. Okay. Any other question? Okay. Here. Oh, you had your question. Yeah, your question.
Yeah, we had a question going on starting in Bhagavatam class this morning, and it's been it wasn't really resolved. So the question comes from Bhagavad Gita 3:27, where it says that the modes alone are acting.
Prakriti kriyamana ingunai. Before that or after that?
That's the one.
Okay.
And then some people say no. Some devotees were saying no. Actually, we're acting because we just did this, right? You know, do something like that.
Now, why did you do that? Because the conversation dictated it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even in psychology, my background, for example. Which shoe do you put on first? Your right shoe or your left shoe?
Right.
Yeah. But people don't think about this, right? But actually, if you start investigating things, for example, I was at Northwestern in Chicago, and some person was doing a graduate program for his master's degree or something like that. So he was studying like the social psychology of the library, you know. So he went there, and there was this whole thing that about 7 o'clock at night, all the guys would arrive, you know, college students, and they would kind of walk around. They'd pick some book. If they're an engineering student, they would look at some book and put it there on the table, or a medical student, or law student. And they would sit so that they were here, and there was a chair opposite them empty. So about 7:30, all the girls would start to arrive, right? And they would walk along and kind of look, you know, medical book, law book, or lawyer. So they would sit down opposite the guys. And after about 27 and one half minutes, right, somebody would initiate a conversation at some time, like, you know, and say, oh, yeah, pretty boring studying, isn't it? Yeah, it is, like that, you know. So there was like about a 30% more chance that if the boy initiated the conversation rather than the girl, he would invite her out for Coca-Cola or coffee or something like that. So it's courtship behavior, you know, courtship behavior like, you know, birds or dogs or, you know, tigers, right? And so the guy did this whole thing and really, you know, really authenticated it in terms of like statistical chances and everything else. And he published it in the student paper, and everybody was shocked because nobody had the slightest idea what was going on. It was all being carried on unconsciously. And people started thinking, it's a fact. Why did I do that? It's kind of the background, is this feeling or that feeling, and wow, you know. So again, most of the things we do, even the psychologists will tell you, are carried out by association, environment, you know, and habit, right? And to actually change yourself, you actually got to consciously work on those things. What are my habits? What are my kind of people I associate with? Where am I? As soon as you're in the kitchen, you load a subroutine from, you know, the kitchen subroutine about how to do things, you know, in the bathroom, another one, at work, another one, right? You know? So psychologists will all tell the same thing. Yeah, most of these things are not, you're not conscious what you're doing. You know? Very few people who actually have much conscious, what, spend 3% of your life, is that more than that? 3% is conscious? Even that might be pushing it. Come home, take a shower, sit down, watch the news, eat dinner, watch something else, go to bed, you know. Yeah? Yeah. So these are at that level, yeah, it's being carried out by the mind, the senses. Right. Yeah. I drink the water because I'm thirsty. Well, no, it's just senses are reacting. The mind integrates the thoughts, sends them to the intelligence. The intelligence looks for some kind of different solutions, pulls up one, that goes back to the mind. The mind organizes the senses, you know, different memories. Right? It's okay? Yeah. So in the mode of ignorance, we're completely controlled. In the mode of passion, there's some hint of freedom. And the mode of goodness, yeah, you can make choices. You're actually given the opportunity to make choices and see what you're going to do. Yeah. But they all relate to the, you know, material world. And then transcendentally in the mode of goodness, and you can make choices that directly deal with the soul. Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay. So after this class, I want you to go home and kill your niece, okay?
You give me an order.
Yeah. So, one thing, I wanted to talk to you about something really important, okay? Now, this book is $500. You'd like to buy it, right?
I like my $500.
Yeah. So, these are two techniques. You distract the person and hand them something to it. It's just a natural reaction to take it. You don't even think about it. You know. The second salesman knows this. And then suddenly she'll distract your mind and put something in front of you, whatever it is, a teddy bear, and you'll take it. And once it's in your hand, you have much more chance of buying it. The other one is the McCabe nod. McCabe discovered that by phrasing some sentence in a positive fashion, no matter how ridiculous it is, if the answer is naturally yes, and you phrase a quick sentence like, you know, you like to eat snails, right? So you just nod your head up and down and don't say anything, you know? Yeah, it's very. So again, there's so many techniques that psychologists, salesmen know that we don't, you know, we're not doing it. You know, somebody nodding his head and say, "Roo, roo, roo. I love snails." You know? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, there are final questions here. We're studying this Bhagavatam. We have a nice class, you know, with right, going through this now. You know, we're on the our group's on the ninth chapter 19. Your group is on chapter 15. Like that. But somebody else is more advanced. But it's very nice. It's what I haven't got a chance. I was going to try and read the whole thing and all the purports and everything else today, but it wasn't time. You know, I had to answer. I had to grade 3 full papers from Radadesh, from the class there. It's too much, and send those off, and then call about the airplane tickets to South America, which are going to be like about $1,000 cheaper if I buy them now. And I had to call down to Peru and find out why he's not, you know, translating the stuff we're supposed to have translated. You know, so it's just busy life also. You know, that. And so it's understanding how to set priorities. You know, get the most important things up there, get those done. You know, so, you know, and then gradually eliminate all these unnecessary things, and you come down to what you actually need to do. What is actually your duty? Right? You know, what is actually my duty during life, and especially at the time of death? Yeah. So that's his question. Very intelligent question. You can chant a little more. I think it's prasadam. So Lord Chaitanya was going through the Jarikanda forest. He's in the middle there. And he started chanting this mantra, which you all know, most of you. And all the bears and tigers and monkeys and elephants all started, you know, dancing and singing and in ecstasy like that too. So I always tell him to be very careful how you use this mantra, or you can create chaos in your workplace like that. Krishna, 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 Raksha Ma. Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava,
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava,
Krishna 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 Krishna
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 Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Mali, Vaishnava Sundar Ke. Welcome to Nandirian.
Yeah. Okay. Distribute those. Thank you. Gopinath.
ખરાબ થઈ ગઈ છે મારે જે વાત કરી નથી એટલા પહેલે બીજી હારી છે